This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allah say, let me tell you, the servants of Ar-Rahman, you will know Ar-Rahman. I will tell you the slaves of Ar-Rahman, then you will know who is Ar-Rahman. Allahu Akbar. Allah is the best of examples. You see a company say, who's the CEO? Don't worry about the CEO. You look at my employees, then look how much you will look up to the CEO. Who's running this organization? Look at the volunteers. Look at the volunteers, then imagine the leadership, right? Allah's the best of examples. He will not tell you who is Ar-Rahman. He will tell you, Ibadur Rahman. I'll be very honest, talking about Ibadur Rahman has been one of the most difficult topics I prepared for the ICD. This has been one of the most difficult. And part of it is the standard that they had, and my ambition and your ambition to achieve that, and inshallah it's doable. Fair enough. So may Allah make it easy for all of us. Say ameen. Ibad al-Rahman. Ibad al-Rahman, let's talk about the two words first. Ibad is the plural of abd, right? Ibad is the plural of abd. Fantastic. Now there's another plural besides ibad. There's another word that is plural about slaves. Abid. Fantastic. So, abid and ibad. The difference, one of the differences, abid in the Quran talks about all people. Muslim, wa kafir, jinn, human beings, abid, right? Servants and slaves. And each one worships something. May Allah make us of those who worship Allah. Say ameen. When you see the context of ibad, it's usually positive. It's usually ibad ar-Rahman, just how you saw it right now, right? Wa idha sa'alaka ibadi ani, those who love me and care about me. So right off the bat, ibad is a positive attribute. For example, about abid, example, Allah says, ذَلِكَ بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَيْسَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. Allah says, this is the reward of what you've done, whether good or bad, and Allah is not unjust towards the abid, the creation in general. Fantastic. As for ar-Rahman, obviously, it's Allah's beautiful name, Ar-Rahman, which is the beneficent or the most merciful. There's two attributes given to Ar-Rahman. Do you know what they may be? Is that his mercy is so massive, so the size is so much, and the speed is so quick. What is it? Size and speed. So massive, so quick. May Allah grant it to all of us. Say ameen. Now, you may think, Ibad Ar-Rahman, Allah will give you 8 qualities. You can divide it into many ways. The way I will divide it is every time Allah says, they are those who. They are those who. They are those who. What's the Arabic word? وَالَّذِينَ. وَالَّذِينَ. 1. وَالَّذِينَ. 2. وَالَّذِينَ. 3. So how many وَالَّذِينَ? 8. How many gates are in Jannah? 8. Fantastic. Now some scholars said the following. Ready? Some scholars, they said that each category is a one of its own. Like Ibad al-Rahman here. Ibad al-Rahman here, and not necessarily someone that has all 8. But that was not common based on my reading. The common opinion is that Ibad al-Rahman have all 8. That's why I was tough preparing this. Right? You see one, like, I think I'm doing well here. Then, like, not this one. So let's see the 8. Let's see where you stand. Let's see where I stand. And let's see where we need to improve. Ready, inshallah? For the first, وَالَّذِينَ. Allah says in the Quran, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما. So this is the first والذين. Allah says the first attribute, and by the way, Al-Hasan al-Basri, he says something interesting. When he read this first والذين, first out of 8, he says, هذا وصفهم في نهارهم. That is how their day looks like. So let's see how your day looks like. Let's see how their day looks like. Some people may think, oh, these are perfect people living in perfect conditions, right? Some people may think like that. It's so ideal. Our times are full of fitna. No, let me tell you a quick background. These people had full-time jobs. These people had money. Not necessarily rich, but different variation, but they had some money that they had to know how to spend and how to earn. These were people, unfortunately, surrounded by a lot of fools. A lot of criminals, a lot of evil people. Not just that, there was a lot of kufr surrounding them. May Allah make us say, La ilaha illallah, say ameen. And there was so much killing and immodesty. Not just that, these people were busy. Jobs, they had wives, and they had children. So mothers and fathers, rejoice. This can relate to every one of us. May Allah make it easy for us. Say ameen. So they did have billboards that showed haram stuff. They had the social media at their time that was full of corruption. So let's see how they dealt with all of this. Number one, Allah says, الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا. They're the ones, the way they walk humbly, respectfully. They don't walk into any venue, check yourself, thinking they're better than anyone. Do you feel like that? Don't raise hands, obviously. You have to be honest with yourself. When you walk, do you think like, right? You may not say it, but you just walk. And the more dunya you have, the harder it is to do it, by the way. The more worldly matters you have, the harder it is for you to do it. We live here in America. Many of us have family overseas, right? How do you walk, ya ayyuhal American, when you go to Palestine in a house there or in Yemen, you walk like, it's not easy. It's not. You think it's, no, it's not, because the more you have, the harder it is. Now, it's possible for a poor person to be arrogant, but it's very unlikely because there's nothing to be arrogant over. So may Allah make it easy for all of us. Say ameen. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look to what he says regarding this. He says, إِذَا مَشَى تَكَفُّأَ. It was said about him, when he walks, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he walks in a way that you can actually see his feet raised when he walks. I know not many of you can see my feet, but you know how to walk like this? Raise your feet, right? Or someone just walks like so in an arrogant way. The Prophet was said about him, the yamshi, he walks as if he's brisk walking, as if the land was slanted downwards. How do you walk when the land is like that, right? You actually just naturally walk a little bit faster. That was his nature. And when you see someone like that, that's not a walk of an arrogant person, inshallah. So you walk with energy. That's why Aisha radiallahu anha, she saw a group of people, you know, walking like this. So she asked, who are these people? Some of them are Quran students. Had Qurra al-Quran. And he's like, why are you walking like that? Then she said, Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, لَقَدْ كَانَ عُمَرْ مِنَ الْقُرَّانِ. Umar radiallahu anhu was one of the best Quran students and Quran people. Look to what she said. وَكَانَ إِذَا مَشَى أَسْرَعْ. When he walks in a fast mode. Right? وَإِذَا تَكَلَّمْ أَسْمَعْ. And when he talks, he's clear, he's loud. Not loud, he's not obnoxious, but clear. Assalamu alaikum. Alaikum assalam. Thank you so much for coming. Speak well. Right? Speak well. إِذَا تَكَلَّمَ أَسْمَعْ. When he speaks, it's clear. Fantastic. وَإِذَا تَكَلَّمَ أَسْمَعْ. وَإِذَا ضَرَبَ أَوْجَعْ. It's clear. And if he hits, he hurts. Right? وَكَانَ مَشْيُهُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ إِلَى السُّرْعَةِ. When he used to walk, it was his natural way of walking. لَمْ يَكُنْ تَكَلُّفَ. He wasn't يصطنع. It was not fake. Right? He's trying to work on himself, or that was part of his own nature. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. And subhanAllah, when she says that about him, and look to how he walked the talk. Check this out. رُوِيَ عَنْ عُمَرْ that he saw a young man, يَمْشِي رُوَيْدَ. A young man who's walking like so, you know, رُوَيْدَ calmly, too relaxed, too humble, physically looking, right? So he asked him, أَنْتَ مَرِيد? Are you sick? No, you're sick. Like, oh, bro, my bad. Right? Are you sick? He's like, no, I'm not sick. فَعَلَاهُ بِالدُّرَةَ. Walk properly next time, right? And he actually struck him with the durra. I know I'm saying this in North America, but we have to move on, inshallah. This is khilafa, all right? But I tell you something, this man very much and very likely appreciated the advice from Umar radiallahu anhu. Now, this is the way they walk, and now this is the way they talk, and the way they behave when others speak to them. وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. Now, are we under which وَالَّذِينَ? One, two, three, four. One. All this is just one. And this is the end of the first one. وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ. When the foolish people address them improperly, ignorant people, does it ever happen you drive and someone just out of nowhere just cuts you off? What do they do? قَالُوا سَلَامًا. Now, it doesn't have to always literally be سَلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ. Like the guy, سَلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ. They don't have to always do that, but sometimes, yes, that is the way. You say, you know what? سَلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ. I will retreat. السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ. I will leave. Who did that in the Quran? Someone was so foolish towards him, so evil towards him. He says, you know what? Salamun alaykum, I'm leaving. Who? Sayyidina, who raised your hand? Ibrahim alayhi salam. His own father, may Allah make it easy for us, say ameen. His own father says, if you do not worship the idols, la arjumannak, I will stone you to death. Wahjurni maliyan, get out of my house. Leave my sight. What did Ibrahim alayhi salam do? Salam. Peace be upon you. Which also means the following. Ready? you will see nothing from me except peace. The evil you show me, what you will face is the absolute opposite, which is peace. Salam. Salamun alayk. What did he say after that? Sa'astaghfiru laka rabbi innahu kana bi hafiya. My father, I will ask Allah to forgive you. I will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you. Allah is very kind with me. So let's try our best to adopt these things. And I'm telling you, it is not easy. Remember I told you, it's difficult. The guy that cuts me off, I feel like following them. All right? Right? And I just want to give him nasiha. I just want to advise the brother. Right? And there might be actually one or two people here that know what just happened not too long ago. But may Allah make it easy for us. Say ameen. So what we should do, if someone cuts us off, salama. No cursing, no half peace sign, none of that stuff. May Allah make it easy for all of us. Ya Rabbi al-Ayn. That's what our shiuch actually told us one time. You have to be very careful. One of our teachers, subhanAllah, he says when someone cuts him off, he takes his kufi off. He's like, oh, you cut me off? Oh, take this off. Why? Because I don't want people to know I'm a Muslim. That's why many of us do not have any Islamic bumper stickers. Let's move on, inshallah. Right? You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the greatest of people that practiced this. Because there's a lot of ignorant people in life. A lot of ignorant people. And when you read how he dealt with them, there's a nice statement. It says, مَا زَادَ الْإِنسَانُ جَهْلًا. No one increased in ignorance towards the Prophet إِلَّا زَادَ النَّبِيُّ حِلْمًا. Except the Prophet was even more forbearing, like unbelievable. You want to become more like loser? I'll become even greater. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Let me give you one extreme example, authentic narration. A man went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Who says this? Anas ibn Malik. He says, I was walking with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. He was wearing some clothes, a little bit of rough material. Then he says, فَأَدْرَكَهُ أَعْرَابِي. And a Bedouin saw the Prophet, peace be upon him, and he grabbed him from his clothing. Can you imagine grabbing the Prophet like this? What will happen if one does someone this today? And he says, listen, Ya Muhammad, listen. He says, give us from what Allah has given you. Give us from the money Allah has given you, which is the Bayt Mal al-Muslimin, the Muslim bank. Anas ibn Malik says, it was such a hard pull that when he released, what happened? I can see marks of the shirt. But this guy, call Khalid, call Umar radiallahu anhu, and just give him the money he wants, inshallah. Differently, right? Maybe stamp the dollar sign on him somehow, right? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know what was his attitude? While he was being pulled, iltafat, he looked at, and then what happened? He smiled. He smiled. Ali, I don't know how. I'm telling you, this is tough. He smiled. He smiled, and he says, you know what? I'tuhu min mali al-Muslimin. Give him some from the money from the Muslim bank. Okay. Especially if he can physically, by the way, physically can beat him up so bad. He was very strong on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But just this guy is ignorant, so what should I do? Is it, you know, pick your fights. This is not someone worth fighting back, someone worth your time. Just 4 days ago, we posted a video series with the ICD. I strongly encourage you, follow the ICD social media pages. Wonderful work is being done. May Allah grant them all Jannah. Say ameen. So in one of my videos, my typical type of clothing, right? May Allah bless those who dress us up. Say ameen. A guy comments and he says, if you want to talk about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it's not just walking and it's not talking, you got to walk the talk. I'm like, I don't know what he's talking about. Then he's like, the Prophet, peace be upon him, the way he wore his clothing, he was covered head to toe. What do you mean covered head to toe? Right? And he puts another post and it's like about, you know what, you're not walking the talk, you know, you're a double-faced person, whatever. Now, do I go on Facebook comments and waste my time preparing this content for you and I to reply to him, is it worth it? So what do? Keep going. Salama. Right? I can probably say, Salamu alaikum. Maybe I should. Let me try that. Let me see what happens. Right? But right, I moved on. I kind of ignored him. And then you got to pass. Bi-idhnillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Hasan al-Basri, he says, this was their case during the day. Ahsan. And now this is their case during their night. And this is number two. وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا. They're the ones who spend their night in such a way that they are prostrating and standing up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make us of those who do that in Ramadan and outside Ramadan. Say ameen. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, regarding the night prayers, he advised the sahaba, do your best to not sleep without praying what? Witr. Abu Huraira says in an authentic narration, Awsani Khalili, my Habib, my beloved friend, which is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he advised me not to go to sleep without praying raka'atul witr. Let me give you a little bit of fiqh aspect. Can you do that? Just a little bit. Now, the hadith did say, do not sleep before praying witr, but it is encouraged, if you can, to pray witr before fajr and after you wake up from a portion of the night that you sleep. So the Prophet says in another narration, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if you're able to sleep and put your alarm in a way, or basically wake up before fajr, pray witr, that's good. If you fear, if you sleep, you will not wake up till fajr, then pray before you sleep witr. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what was the witr like? What's the minimum? One rak'ah. Minimum one rak'ah. Now, while they're praying at night, do you think they make a lot of dua? Definitely, right? They have a good portion. A good portion of the night prostrating themselves, standing before their Lord. Out of all the things that they say and ask for in their night prayer, Allah puts a whole category of their own. What's the dua? Who knows? Now they said a lot of dua, a lot. There's one dua Allah will mark in the Quran, and it will be the third, وَالَّذِينَ. What do you think? Okay, let's make it simple. What is it you think they're asking for? Jannah, good. What else? Take a shot, huh? أحسنت. مي الله يصرف عنك عذاب جهنم. Say ameen. Fantastic. They actually call upon Allah, begging Him, our Lord, keep the punishment of hell away from us, for its punishment is indeed unrelenting. إِنَّهَا سَاءَتْ مُسْتَقَرًّا وَمُقَامًا. It is certainly an evil place to settle and reside. Ya Allah, protect us from hellfire. And this comes to show you what? Their humbleness. إِصْرِفْ عَنَّا. As if hell was just for them. Not save me from, no, save us from hellfire. إِبْعَدْ جَهَنَّمْ عَنَّا ya Allah. And I'll be very frank and transparent with you. How can we reach this level where you are genuinely scared of hell? You will have to answer and help me out. How can you? Because Allah is telling you these are the best of slaves, right? Ibadur Rahman. So they clearly are terrified. Allah made this the highlight of their entire dua at nighttime. Protect us from hell. Put hell away from us. They're desperate, but they're such good people. How can you genuinely be terrified from hell? How? You gotta help us out. This is very critical. If we tell you there's an earthquake in such and such land, will you be scared? Most likely not. You might be sad, a little bit concerned, but if we tell you there's expecting an earthquake in Dearborn, may Allah protect us all, you'll be terrified. What just happened? Is that you realized you can go to hell. You have to realize there's a chance you will end up in hell. And once you acknowledge that, and you and I are no longer full of ourselves, we will be terrified. When you are so cautious and so conscious that the hearts of the people, بين أصبعين من أصابع الرحمن يقلبهما كيف يشاء, your heart is under the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your heart may change. Today you're good, tomorrow you have no idea what happens, yes? Last year, some of us were so far away from Islam. Today, you're very close to Islam, alhamdulillah. I'm not sure if some of you noticed this Ramadan, but the past 4 or 5 years, Allah knows best. I have never seen the masajid, and I went through 3 different masajid, as packed as this year. Have you guys noticed that, right? It's unbelievable. Something that brings so much joy to our hearts. May Allah grant us Jannah. Say ameen. And you know what's the highlight? Was the young men and women that showed up, right? It was young people. I had an elderly man just last night at ICD. He was telling me, he's like, Shuf, Shabab, Shabab, Shabab. I'm like, this is beautiful. This is incredible. May Allah keep you all steadfast. Say ameen. Wallahi, this is a sign of greatness. May Allah keep you all strong. Ya Rabbil Alameen. So you have to be terrified because these shabab, not all of them stay strong when they get old. These shabab, they're good at Ramadan, but I don't know how are they after Ramadan. Yes? These shabab, they come in early. These shabab are fasting, but I don't know what happens after that. So fear Jahannam. And for you to fear Jahannam, you got to know what is Jahannam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one time he was sitting with a sahaba, and all of a sudden what happens? A very strong bang. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أتدرون ما هذا? Did you know what was that sound? They said, أرالله ورسوله أعلم. He says, هذا حجر رمي به في النار منذ 70 خريفا. This was a rock. Hell is like a valley, right? It's like a pitch, right? Or a ditch. So this ditch, the rock was pushed, and the rock was falling and falling and falling for how many? 70 years. 70 years falling, And the Prophet says, just now, أتت على قعر النار, just the base of the hellfire, just touched the ground. May Allah forgive us. That's a rock. The least punishment in hell, the least, who takes it? The least, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a person, أهون عذاب النار, a person, توضع في أخمصي قدميه جمرة. They'll be standing on a rock that is on fire, a firestone. Think of a coal, right, that is burning, hot, and they're standing on it. In dunya, may Allah forgive us and make it easy for all those who perhaps got burnt. May Allah not make this skin ever burned by Jahannam. Say, I mean. They stand, it might burn your skin, might ruin a little bit your toes and so on. The Prophet says that firestone in hell, that's the minimum. They go and stand on it, their brains boil. Their head boils. So we got to respect what Allah has prepared and don't feel too comfortable because Ibad al-Rahman are scared. What about you and I? May Allah make us all Ibad al-Rahman. Their sins were such a big deal to them. They don't say, oh, everybody does it. No, it doesn't mean everybody does it. That's like one of the Sahaba, he says, when a believer makes a sin, he feels as if a mountain is about to collapse on them. Do you feel that way? You have to be very honest. You watched something wrong, haram last night, the day before. How did you feel about it? You listened to a terrible song by one of these singers and musicians. How did you feel about it? You saw something you're not supposed to see. You said a word you're not supposed to say. How do you feel about it? This is a very honest question because this will tell you how much work you have to put. Because if this does not mean much to you, if you are not terrified of the consequences of it, then there's some work we have to do. Because the Sahabi said the believer feels as if a mountain is about to collapse. As for the one who has no respect to God, it's as if it's a fly. And when a fly comes, what do you do? Shoo it away. No big deal. Well, there's a lot of people that do a lot worse than me. May Allah forgive us, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Then they comment something interesting. They said, إِنَّهَا سَاءَتْ مُسْتَقَرًّا وَمُقَامًا. What does that mean? سَاءَتْ مُسْتَقَرًّا. مُسْتَقَر, a little bit on the temporary. So I cannot handle Jahannam, whether temporary or permanent. I cannot go to hell. I cannot handle it even for a second. Now, there's a nation in the Quran, they were actually mocking. And they say, oh, it's okay. We go to hell for how long? A week? It's not bad. Who said that? Al-Yahud. Allah says, وَقَالُوا لَن تَمَسَّنَا النَّارُ إِلَّا أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودًا. They said, the Yahud said, we'll go to hell a few days. Then we end up going to Jannah. So Allah says, قُلْ أَتَّخَذْتُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَهْدًا فَلَنْ يُخْلِفَ اللَّهُ عَهْدَهُ أَمْ تَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Did you have a contract with Allah that you go for 7 days, then you'll go to hell? By the way, when I was studying it for this session, I was surprised. Why? Because I would think that God would say, I'm just thinking, you know, we can explore, right? That Allah will say, even if it's 1 day, it will be pretty bad, right? But Allah said, did I put a contract between you and I? Like, did I tell you 7 days? No, Allah's not talking about how bad is hell, besides that point. Did I make a contract? SubhanAllah, such a powerful thing. Because Allah says, if I give you a promise, I fulfill the promise. Or are you making stuff about Allah, which they do all the time? May Allah forgive us. You have to be very, very careful. إِنَّا سَاءَتْ مُسْتَقَرًّا وَمُقَامًا. These people do not want to even take what? A split of a second or a minute in hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes to the fourth وَالَّذِينَ. What do you think it will be about? Fourth وَالَّذِينَ. Remember I told you they have jobs? They got money? This one. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. These people, when they spend, they're not wasteful, nor are they stingy. They spend in moderation. So now you check yourself. How are you doing with the israf and with the taqtir, right? How are you with the israf? What's israf? Israf is when you spend beyond your means, beyond your needs. Something that you don't even have the money for, but you still purchase it. May Allah make it easy for us. We do understand there are exceptions to this. You buy a house that you don't really can afford, but you do it on payments, maybe schooling. I'm not talking about interest now. That's not my focus here. But the concept of being in debt is very, very discouraged in Islam. Very discouraged. But yes, there are cases where you have to go through that. So these people, they do not go beyond what their means may be. Do you have an example of going beyond the means that we can share with the crowd? Go ahead, tell me something.
Buying like a nice car.
Buying like a nice car. Okay, you are right when it's applied to who? Are you college or high school? So you're in high school, right? So let's say you have money, but not enough to buy a Camaro SS, right? So you go put a Camaro SS, you go for a lease, they check your credit score. Yes, you have two checks, but you cannot really handle this because it's just a summer job. Right? So what, like, I'll figure it out. What do you mean? GoFundMe? No, that's not figuring it out. So you have to be very careful. When you swipe that card for this laptop, I want an i7. You can afford an i3, i5. Why go an i7? You're just a student who's doing Word and PowerPoint. You don't need an i7. So what you should do, maybe ask more questions. I need an iPad that has 256 gigabytes, but you might need just 64 gigabytes. Unless you're someone that you will utilize that for this and that. So put a little bit of effort when you do your purchase, and don't be too hard so you don't fall in being stingy. You see, you're able to balance that. Don't go too hard, you end up being stingy. The example, someone goes in the supermarket, and then, I don't know, the wife sees the husband buying, let's say, a gallon of milk. Like, we're going to drink this whole thing by yourself? Like, no, it's fine, right? I can be able to share that with the family, with friends. But that's when you become a bit careful and a bit cautious. Because many times, may Allah forgive us, especially in Ramadan, we do some israf, right? It hurts a lot. We do that beautiful iftar, beautiful breakfast, but then how much of that food is actually thrown away? So these ibadur rahman do not overcook in a way that is thrown away. Fair enough? So you want to cook a lot, no problem. But make sure you have a plan B for all the leftovers, because plan B is not the garbage. And should never be the garbage. The people, ibadur rahman, as an example, with no exaggeration, when they put ketchup, they put enough ketchup that they need for their fries. They don't go all over because it's free and it's at home and whatever. Baba's paying for it. Nah. Right? You put that which is enough. That's why once you run out of ketchup, you just put more. As simple as it sounds. So it's not like one time and it will always be gone. Khalidina fiha rahat. No. It will be available, inshallah. When we go to buffets, right? You pay $25 a buffet. The brother feels it's wajib to go as much as the plate can handle. Right? They want to check the quality of the plate. Will it crack? No, it's not. No, that's not you. I paid for the buffet. You chose the buffet, but your buffet should be equivalent to the size of your stomach, not the size of the plate. Right? Or the size of the paycheck, or not the paycheck, the receipt that you have to pay. May Allah make it easy for all of us. وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا They were not stingy towards the things that matter. So many of us here, for example, our zakah, to some of you, or many of you, your zakah is when? First of Ramadan. Other people, half of Sha'ban. Other people, the end of Dhul Hijjah. So when your zakah comes, we start calculating, well, if I keep doing this, I'm going to lose my money. لا هذا ولا يقتروا. You give from the bottom of your heart. May Allah make it easy for all of us. Just a quick point about zakah, just to emphasize something. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah, there's a wonderful, wonderful set of organizations around the city, the state, the nation, the world. But be careful when you pay your zakah. Zakah is very specific. It has to be to non-profit organizations, if you choose that, that are zakah eligible. Fair enough? And when you give your zakah, you have to have the intention before giving it. This is very important. Why? Some people, for example, maybe someone sitting right now said, I didn't know that. Oh, you know what? Okay, I'll make my last night's charity, I'll make it zakah. No, it's too late. Because zakah has to be paid in a way that you intend it to be zakah. Fair enough? Any questions about that? Any questions? Don't go all over it, just about that one. All right, fantastic, excellent. So, وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا And they were very moderate in their spending. Now, what's number five? Number five has a lot of details to it. Number five, Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرٍ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ What was that? What was these qualities that Allah is praising in عِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ Allah says they're the ones that do not worship someone besides Allah. They're the ones who don't kill people. They're the ones who do not commit zina. Now, I want to ask you a question. I want you to use your brain as much as you can. When are these qualities praiseworthy? When? Like if I say, مثلا, I won't bring someone, but pretend I brought a brother. MashaAllah, brothers and sisters, this man, MashaAllah, never committed murder. MashaAllah, takbir! MashaAllah. This brother, MashaAllah, he prays five times, al-takbir, right? Like, when do you actually do that? Interviews? Did you kill someone before, right? Right? When is it praiseworthy? Ahsant. Whoever said that, you're awesome, right? When it's all over the place. So remember when I told you these people did not live in ideal societies, remember? It was so common. There was gangs. There was murder. Zina was all over the place in terms of the society that they lived in. Kufr and shirk was all over. Even maybe some Muslims were twisting their faith and bending for the non-Muslims in a way to please them at the expense of their own faith. But these people never bent, never did shirk, never killed, never committed zina. Their society was so difficult. Maybe we can relate to that very much, correct? May Allah make it easy for all of us. Say ameen. لا يدعون مع الله إلها آخر. You know what رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, a man came to him and said, Ya Rasulullah, أيُّ الذنبِ أكبر? What is the greatest sin? The worst crime. He says, أن تدعو لله ندا وهو خلقك. For you to say God has a partner, has a child, has a spouse, has a parent, when He's the one who created you, and you attribute others to Allah. When He's the one who created you, then you thank others and not thank Allah. Then the man says, ثُمَّ أَيْ. Then what comes after that? Then he says, ثُمَّ أَن تَقْتُلَ وَلَدَكَ أَن يَطْعَمَ مَعَكَ. When you kill your own child for the fear that they will share some of your money and your wealth and this and that, and they become a burden. Then what, Ya Rasulullah? Give me the grandest of sins and the worst. Then he says, ثُمَّ أَن تُزَانِيَ بِحَلِيلَةِ جَارِكَ. For you to commit zina. Now killing, shirk, kufr, all that is bad, but he's giving you the worst of killing, which is killing your own child. Zina is haram. Then he gives you the worst type of zina is when you commit zina with your neighbor. Right? The one whom that her father entrusted you by living next to you. Her brother respected you when you parked your car and you shared the driveway. They trusted you and you committed zina with her. That's the worst of zina. May Allah forgive us. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these ayat. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخر. Now, when it comes to killing an innocent soul, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, whoever kills someone who is known to have safety, so it can be a Muslim or a kafir mu'ahid. What's a kafir mu'ahid? A kafir who lives in a land that is known to be safe. There's not war. The Prophet says, if you kill either of them, ana bari'un min al-qatil. I am free from the one who committed the crime. وَإِنْ كَانَ الْمَقْتُولُ كَافِرًا. Even if the one who was killed is a kafir. The one who got killed hates the Prophet and hates Allah. If you killed him without haqq, then the Prophet has nothing to do with you on the Qiyamah. You're not one of me. Don't think you will join me in Jannah. May Allah forgive us. So this is something I really wish even non-Muslims get to hear this hadith. You guys agree with me? وَإِنْ كَانَ كَافِرًا. So we have that safety, the people that live around us in Dearborn, Michigan, in the country. Then the last thing, وَلَا يَزْنُونَ. They do not commit zina. And zina, brothers and sisters, without a doubt, with it being very prominent all over, we know that zina is not just the actual matter, but it can also be, as the Prophet explained, there's the zina of the eyes. Then he says, وَالْعَيْنُ تَزْنِي. Now I want you, when you read this ahadith, try your best to go back 1,444 years ago, and we say, إِنَّ الْعَيْنَ لَتَزْنِي. The eye commits zina. Now, the Sahaba very likely did not come very frequently across that, correct? Like the only way my eyes can see that is that you have to physically be in a location, someone is committing the haram, may Allah protect us. But how insane is it that this statement applies to us more than the Sahaba? Right? When the eye commits zina. Then the Prophet says, and the ears commit zina. How they? Now we know the ears commit zina. And the hand commits zina. And he says the legs commit zina. How? وَزِنَ الرِّجْلَيْنِ أَنْ تَمْشِي. For you to walk to the location where you will watch. You made the effort to go to a place in the house, in a spot, to get the Wi-Fi, do this, and get that video. May Allah forgive us. Or actually go to that venue where that sin will be performed. May Allah forgive us. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Our teachers taught us something profound. He says, for you to really quit it, and I'm trying to address this a little bit more than the usual, and I'll end with this, inshallah, because the crowd here is a little bit above the typical age we have in our Friday nights, because we have the middle school program, elementary, toddlers. He says, no one watches the haram except one of three things had to take place. If you take one of the three out, you will not watch it. You will not expose yourself to it. What's number one? The location. You will not be able to see the haram unless you are in a location where it's possible. Let me use an example to bring all this together. Ready? Someone wants to watch something haram on their phone. The location. If you're in the masjid or you're around people and this and so on, the location, you cannot watch. Correct? People are around. Number two is the tool required to watch. It can be a phone, it can be a laptop, it can be any other type of gadget. If you are in a good location, no one is there, but you do not have the tool, you will never be able to watch. The third and last, what is it? The thought. Right? The thought. You may have the thought, I want to watch. I really inclined to do this. I want to see that. And then you have the gadget. You have two now, the thought and the gadget, but you don't have the location. You cannot. So do whatever is necessary to never be in a place that all three take place. So if you're thinking too much about it, distract yourself. Do something. So much so that one of our mashayikh told us, if you're khalas, about to press play or going through and watching and so on, may Allah forgive us, start doing dhikr. I was like, Shaykh, what do you mean? Start saying, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Shaykh, while we're watching, Na'udhu Billah. He says, because the insan hates hypocrisy. And you don't like to be double-faced. So as you're saying it, you're so uncomfortable. So you will quit one of two. Either quit saying it, or you'll quit watching. So may Allah forgive us and remind us of Allah, not just through every deed, even before every sin, so we can be very cautious. Amir Rabbil Alameen. وَلَا يَزْنُونَ. But you know what's very interesting? Allah did say that about Ibad al-Rahman, but maybe someone reads this across earth and says, I'm disqualified, right? I'm disqualified. Maybe someone that was mushrik, maybe someone that killed someone, maybe someone that committed zina, that's it, I'm disqualified. You know what's unbelievable? Some of Ibad al-Rahman perhaps fell in it. What? Some of Ibad al-Rahman fell in one of these three. So Allah says, يُضَاعَفْ لَهُ الْعَذَابُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَيَخْلُدْ فِيهِ مُهَانَةِ. He'll be punished then. He says, إِلَّا. Except, there's an exception. إِلَّا مَنْ تَاب. May Allah make us of them. Say ameen. إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Those who repent, they apologize. And remember this, and they make up for it. فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Except the ones who repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe they heard this ayah for the first time or now for the second, third time, but now it hits them unlike ever before. I messed up, ya Allah. I did commit that sin. I did commit that crime. I did watch this thing. Ya Allah, I come to you this Ramadan. I come to you today. Ya Allah, please forgive me. Ya Rabbil Alameen. I have done it 4 or 5 or 10 years ago, whatever your case may be. Know that Allah will not just accept your repentance. Allah will get the mountains of bad deeds, convert them to good deeds. Allahu Akbar. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. He loves to forgive. He's so merciful. In the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you have such a Lord, you feel comfortable, right? Can you imagine? Can you imagine there's no tawbah? Just imagine that. Wallah, you might cry. If you actually really think so deep about it, if there's no tawbah, whatever you did is whatever you did. There's nothing you can erase about it. That's why, may Allah forgive us, in today's systems, many times, there's no forgiveness for people that do some minor crimes, correct? Stays in the record. They want to change, but stay there for God knows how long. And it ruins them. So they leave jail, and what do? Sometimes, feel hopeless, and they commit another crime, takes them back to prison. Allah Jalla Jalalu, we put ourselves in the prison. We can unbreak or break ourselves from that prison. May Allah make it easy for us. Say ameen. He says, I know the last person that leaves Jannah. You guys want to know who he is? Last person that leaves Jannah. So the last one who leaves Jannah, sorry. Last person who leaves? Hellfire. If you knew I made a mistake and you didn't correct me, may Allah make it easy for us. The last one to leave Jannah. Like, how can you leave Jannah? All right? So the last one to leave? The hellfire. All right? Is typically the last one to go to Jannah. It's logic. Last one to go leave hell, last one to go to Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اعرضوا عليه صغار ذنوبه. Allah says, hide the major sins from this man's record. So when he has his book, all the haram, hide what? The major, present the minor. So think of it like, you know, they have a Word document. Make the major sins in the color white. Right? Hidden. So then the man goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then Allah says, عَمِلْتَ يَوْمَ كَذَا كَذَا وَكَذَا. I see that on that day, you did such and such, the minor sins. Then he says, نعم, I did. And he did this, and he did that. I did. لَا يَسْتَطِيعُ أَنْ يُنْكِرْ وَهُوَ مُشْفِقْ. And he was so nervous. Why? If Allah is talking to me about the minor sins, what will happen with the major sins? And we didn't even start yet. So then Allah says about the minor sins, angels, convert every bad deed he did into a good deed. What? Every bad deed that they went through, the minor sins, convert all of this into good deeds. So the other man says, Allah, oh Allah, I did a lot of haram. I did some major sins in my life. Like, I don't see it. Allah hid it. You know, I killed someone. I did this. I committed that zina. I committed that theft. I did this and that. I don't see it. Where is Allah? The Prophet, when he said this hadith, he had one of the biggest smiles in his life. Right? As such how, and he just, the joy of Allah's rahmah, and how he converts that, and now the major sins eventually transform into good deeds. So be hopeful when you talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now there's another ayah here. وَمَنْ تَابَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَإِنَّهُ يَتُوبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَتَابًا. Then Allah says, and whoever basically goes, repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and does good deeds, then that is an appropriate tawbah. Why would Allah mention this? Like, I'll be honest, when I read it first time preparing, okay, and whoever repents to Allah, but we just covered it here. Did you notice? The question comes like, do I read more Quran Ramadan or do you contemplate? So when you come Sundays you contemplate, inshallah. About an hour and a half, nice, take a dosage of contemplation over a page and a half. That's it. This whole thing was just a page and a half. But now we contemplate. Allah says, except those who repent and believe. Why here Allah says, and whoever repents and does good deeds? You see the question? Like, why is it repeated? Huh? Go ahead. Fantastic, to show emphasis. That's one point we'll take. What is it? To follow up a bad deed with a good deed, erases it. Ahsanti, fantastic. Another level, excellent. I'll take that. To show you that it's not just limited to these three sins. You get it? Because all that repentance and forgiveness and all that stuff that we mentioned, there's the three sins. Then Allah says, well, tab, and whoever repents regarding any sin, small, big, minor, major, also that goes, and that is appropriate tawbah. But what does Allah emphasize? You have to, that's the key word, may Allah grant you Jannah. You have to what? Make up for it. Allah yabarik fikum, men and women, and including myself. You cannot just make a sin and just ask Allah to forgive you and move on without attempting to make up for it. Remember the classical example we did with the bottle of water? Remember, we had a brother here, we had the bottle of water, right? And I tried to pour the water on him. Then how do I apologize? I stop pouring water. Sah? I close the cap. And what do? I apologize. I regret what I've done. I'm sorry. Is that enough? Even in restaurants, even this example, what will you do? You will dry his shirt. You might even offer to buy him a new one. Similarly with sins, you gotta make up for it. You have to. That same phone or that same place you watch the haram, go back to that place. Go back to that place and maybe pray 2 rak'at, if possible. Go at that time when no one was looking. Make up for what you did when no one was looking. And perhaps Allah will forgive you for that sin. That's why some ulama, they said, the best way to make up for a private sin is by doing a private good deed. And remember this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, it's tasaddaqu, give in donations. Why? Because donations extinguish the sins the same way water extinguishes the fire. Almost coming to an end. This is what? Walladina, what number?
Six.
Six? How about we do a review? Let's do a review. Those who walk, what? The servants of the most compassionate are the ones who walk on earth humbly. And when the foolish address them improperly, they only respond with peace. That's one. Two, those who spend a good portion of the night praying. Three, They make that specific dua about what? Protect us from hellfire. Four. The way they spend their money. Five was the three sins that we mentioned, and all sins, right? And then this is? Six? Not yet. This is six, right? وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ. And they're the ones who do not bear false witness or testimony. Now, Shahadat al-Zur is a very famous hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was talking to the people and he was telling them, أَلَا أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِأَكْبَرِ الْكَبَائِرِ. Shall I tell you of the major of the major sins? Then he said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. He said, number one, who knows the hadith? What's the number one within this hadith? Then the worst sin, shirk billah. You'll see it all over. Then he says, number two, disrespecting parents. Number three, he was actually like, you know, relaxed when he was talking. Then when he went to the third one, he stood properly or more firm. And he was actually sitting. Then he says, Ala wa shahadatu az-zur. False testimony, false testimony, false testimony. The Sahaba said, we feared that he will be exhausted because he kept repeating it. False testimony, false testimony. Laytahu sakat, khalas, okay, we got, like they got so terrified and they felt bad for him for how often he repeated that. How many times in a story, whether classroom, two classmates, they do something that is wrong and then they blame someone else at a childish level, even at an adult level. True story, an auntie, subhanAllah, was telling me a story how she got in a car accident, all right? When she got into the car accident, the one who was at fault called someone. So they called like a relative and they came and the sister was about to lose her mind. The relative said, yeah, she came and she caught this light. And she's like, that's a false testimony. And wallah, how painful was it for that sister? May Allah grant her the right in dunya and akhirah. Say ameen. This is it's so painful. He says, yeah, she did that. Yes, he did that. You were not even there. There's no evidence. That just blame. May Allah forgive us. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Now, Shahadat al-Zur here, I never knew this, subhanAllah, until I prepared this. May Allah grant you all Jannah. Say ameen. Shahadat al-Zur here, many ulama, they actually expand it. It's not just false testimony. It's any gathering where there is zur, where there is wrong. They're not present. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ. They're not present when horrible things take place. And you know what do the scholars say under this ayah, if you open tafsir? It's very interesting. The ulama, many of them, different books, it says, الَّذِينَ يَشْهَدُونَ أَعْيَادْ غَيْرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. I'm like, wow, let me translate that. When you open up the books of tafsir about this ayah, he says, عِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ, they're the ones who do not participate in non-Muslim holidays. Religious holidays, let's be specific. Religious holidays, they don't take part in it, right? They don't say, oh, nice Christmas tree, let's take a nice picture. I don't believe in it. Don't be extreme, brother. It's just a nice tree. Oh, who created the tree? Who created the tree? Allah? Allah created the tree. What? Don't play that game, right? لا يشهدون الزور. We don't want to be present in that situation. I don't want to be present into celebrating something that is very clearly is blasphemy against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if the meaning kind of died out a little bit. We don't do that stuff. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزور. Now, what else do they do? وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. And when they come across falsehood, they pass it by with dignity. مَرُّ, what does مَرُّ mean? مَرِّت, I passed by. So was their intention to go there? No, I just happened to pass by. So when they pass by a billboard, they don't stare like, oh, what is this? No, you know it's wrong, don't play games, right? وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ. You know what's a perfect example? Your timeline, right? On Instagram, timeline. This is مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ. You see a post. مشعرف, a guy last night with argila, like circles, right? مروا باللغوي, مروا. You leave with dignity. Because when you stay and watch these things, something that is negative, there's things that are a lot worse than that, okay? For your own dignity, leave before for them. For your own sake, because your value continues to drop. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا باللغوي, مروا كِرَامًا. And don't hesitate to unfollow people. This is your month, this is your time. Yes, it is quite sensitive. I do believe to some people, unfollow is like a divorce. He unfollowed me and you take it personally, like, wallah, I will unfollow you back, right? It's like war, right? How come he didn't like? Wallah, I will never like. Whatever the case may be, this is your time to unfollow people because you don't want a lot of lagu. Lagu is not always haram, by the way. It can be a guy who always posts stuff that are meaningless all the time. Or too much about NFL all the time. You're like, you know what? I'm not saying it's haram, but I don't want to keep getting exposed to this. Unfollow. Fair enough. I did that actually to one of my friends. I love him so much. And I told him, I love you, love you, love you, love you. But I unfollowed him. because he was obsessed about football. Right? Not like one post once a week, twice, adi. But to me, I'm struggling. Every time, then what happens when you keep posting? Then what happens to me? I start going to YouTube, watch the highlights, Tab al Chiefs, beating Kada. May Allah forgive Detroit Lions. Anyhow, let's move on. Right? If it's Detroit Lions, I follow you. Sahabi, habibi. But my point being is that when you're too exposed to lagu, no benefit, meaningless, you move with kirama. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they are away from falsehood, Allah shows how soft their hearts are towards this one. And this is number 7, then 8, and we're done. Number 7, Allah says, وَإِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ لَمْ يَخِرُّوا عَلَيْهَا سُمَّنْ وَعُمْيَانِ. They are the ones, when they are reminded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're not deaf. They're not ignorant towards it. They're not ignoring it. So they take advice seriously. Just like how they ignore the falsehood, they take truthfulness seriously. Does that make sense? وَإِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ لَمْ يَخِرُّوا عَلَيْهَا سُمَّنْ وَعُمْيَانَ. Someone advises you. That's not how you read the ayah. There's a fatha. Whatever, bro. Here comes haram police. No, it's haram police. Haram police. Here comes the sheikh. Because he attended the Sunday night program for an hour and a half. He became sheikh. People sometimes are rejecting like that, right? And then they turn you off. And they never open the door for you to advise them. So may Allah not make us like that. Ibad al-Rahman, they take the advice seriously. Last but not least. وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ. They're the ones who make dua. Make dua for whom? وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ. Our Lord, please bless us with pious spouses and offspring who will be the joy of our hearts. Ibad al-Rahman, one of the shuyukh, when he was explaining this, he said, Ibad al-Rahman make dua for their spouses. And that was quite deep, to be very honest with you. Right? They make dua for their wives. She makes dua for her husband. He's part of the dua list. Obviously, comes after that, the children. And what do they ask? وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ. Ya Allah, grant me a spouse, a child. Make my wife, make my children. When I look at them, I'm so happy that sometimes I cry out of happiness. May Allah grant it to all parents. Say, I mean, how do you cry when they say, and now the next batch of people graduating, brother so-and-so, and the father starts crying. Like, are you okay? This is joy. You will feel it the most, inshallah, when you have children. May Allah grant you all righteous children. Say, I mean, when you have that moment when your daughter comes and corrects you, wallah, it's such a joy. It's incredible. May Allah grant it to all of us, ya Rabbal Alameen. I had in one of my videos, in the subtitles, I said the word new, K-N-E-W. So then I told my daughter, just can you check it out? And she said, Baba, they wrote no. I didn't even notice it. She said, K-N-O. I'm like, I was about to cry. And she's like, Shuhada. Right? Like anytime I correct him, he wants to cry. I don't want to cry because this is a blessing. It's a blessing. Right? No, now she grew and now she's correcting her dad. And that's what the great people have done. Always made dua for their children. Ibrahim, Rabbi Habli Mina Salihin. What did Ibrahim also say? Rabbi Ja'alni Muqim As-Salati Wa Min Dhirriyati Rabbana Wa Taqabbal Dua. Zakariya Fahabli Min Ladunka Waliya Yarithuni Warithu Min Ali Ya'qub. Right? And the believers in general, what do they say? Rabbi Awzi'ni An Ashkura Ni'amataka Allati An'amta Alayya Wa Ala Waliday Wa An A'mala Salihan Wa Aslih Li Fi Dhirriyati. So Allah says the righteous always include their family in their dua. So may Allah make us of them, Ya Rabbal Alameen. And then last but not least, under this, what does it say at the end? وَجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. And that's their conclusion. They ask Allah to be role models. They ask Allah to be inspiration to people. They ask Allah, Ya Allah, make me the example for people to start donating. Make me their role model. Make me the role model for people to come to pray. Make me the role model to people to come to attend events and gatherings. Make me the inspiration and role model. It's sometimes for people too complicated to understand this. But when you see an athlete doing a news, like a report, and he's like, you know, I'm trying to be an inspiration for the next generation, right? You see that? You're like, wow, that's so inspiring. That's exactly what these people want to do. Not in sports as much, though it can be as means, but they want to be inspiration for them to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, who are awliya illa salihin? Who are the Allah's closest of people? In one narration, he says, they're the ones, when you see them, you remember Allah. May Allah make you all of them. They see you, they remember Allah. They see you, they're away from the sin. They see you, they remember Salah. They see you, they remember they have to do better. May Allah make us all of awliya'illah salihin. Qulu ameen. Waj'alna lil muttaqina imama. These eight, walladhina. What will the reward be? Ula'ika yujzawna al-ghurfata bima sabaru. Allah says they will have the ghurfa. What's ghurfa? The room. But ghurfa here means the high, high, high level. So these people will get the highest of levels in Jannah. May Allah grant it to all of you. But why do they get that ghurfa? Allah gives you one and only one character. What did they excel at? Bima sabaru. They were consistent. They persevered. Whenever they fell, they didn't say, okay, whatever. No, they tried their best to go back up. Bima sabaru wa yulaqawna fiha tahiyyatan. Wasalama. Just like how you said salam to the ignorant, you will come to Jannah. And who will greet you? The angels. Who will say salam? The Prophet. Who will say salam? The believers. May Allah make you and I say salam to one another in Jannah. Say ameen. Remember me from the ICD. Salam. Remember Sunday programs that were a bit exhausting and there's no pizza because we were fasting, remember? Yeah, yeah. We made it. We made it. Salam. You know, subhanAllah, tahiyya, welcoming. You know, that nice gesture. Ever left an airplane? Went, you know, the airport, and he saw like a people would have a billboard. We miss you, we love you, and you walk like, I wish one day, right, right. And then you like people like having like what guy wears a suit and there's like a nice limo, right? Like John Montana, whatever. I'm just made up that name. All right. And you're like, man, I can't one day imagine Mahmoud. Ah, where is that masjid? That, no, I'm just joking. Okay, right. That picks me up, right? The guy's like, brother, I'm in the parking lot. If you take two more minutes, I'm gonna take another round. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, right? May Allah grant him all Jannah. Say ameen. But there, tahiyyatan wa salama. You go, salam min Allahi jalla jalalu. Allah says salam upon you. May Allah make us hear it from him. Say ameen. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. And may Allah make us lil muttaqina imama. May Allah make us role models to the muttaqeen. Because there are role models for the evil people. There are role models for that. We don't want to be that. Role models for the righteous. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. Then here, what does Allah say? Khalidina fiha. You'll be there forever. Many people struggle when they talk about Jannah. Bro, when you talk about Jannah palm trees, I just went to the Maldives, alhamdulillah, like for my honeymoon. Say mashallah. Example, I didn't do it, right? All right? And then, I don't know, I struggle. Tabi akhwi, you went to Maldives. How long you stayed there for? 7 days. No, khalidina fiha. First mistake is not even equivalent, but let's move beyond that. You'll be there forever. Hasunat mustaqarran. What does that mean? Mustaqarran, remember? Mustaqarran wa muqama. Mustaqarran was what? Ahsanti, like temporary, right? Like just passing by. Wa muqama, resident. Will you ever be in Jannah temporary? Tabi Allah, tell me. We're going to end it here. Allah's done. How can you be in Jannah temporary? Like, what does it mean, mustaqarran? Just a little bit. You'll be at this station for a little bit. Huh? Sirat? Okay, good point. Go ahead. Try. All the way in the back. Go ahead. All right. Excellent. Good try. In Jannah, your joy is not stationary. It's not at a certain level. You will grow. Some people get an upgrade in Jannah. So even that temporary time you're in that level in Jannah, it's awesome. Even for a one moment. But it keeps growing. And you know how it grows, for example? What Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a servant of Allah will grow their level in Jannah. So that servant, check this out. He says, Ya Allah, how did I get an upgrade? He says, Bistighfari walidika lak. Because your son, your daughter prayed for you. Mustaqarran wa muqama. May Allah forgive our parents. And may Allah grant them the highest levels in Jannah. Ameen Rabbil Alameen.